Hey guys, welcome back for a big episode. This is Game Boys 10. We did it. We did it 10 times.
Woo!
I'm Pat. I'm here with my friend Bowman.
Hey everybody, glad to be here.
A special guest this week.
Yep, a special guest. I'm a repeating visitor.
Yeah. Yep, so we got some things to talk about, some Nintendo leaks, some PC gaming news. We don't usually have that stuff, so.
Oh, I actually don't even know what you're talking about.
Don't look. So yeah, we'll just start off like we always do. What have you been doing?
Getting settled back into my place, and still I feel like every episode I'm saying this, but the more and more I trim my collection, the more and more I want to trim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a hard, not really hard, but just a challenge of just putting everything into a big box and figuring out what I want to sell, and kind of just revisiting that conversation of selling stuff and how much of a pain in the ass it is, and how much money I want to make versus how much of a trouble I want to go through with it. Because part of me wants to just take it to your favorite local retro store and just get the cash for it. But
right. You get pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, well, not horrible, but yeah. And then another part of me wants to try to make some money off of it. And it's tough, man, because I have so many consoles. And now I'm confined to one small space, and it's really, I've heard this brought up so many times in different podcasts, mostly Pat would bring it up, how everything changes when you move, and it's just, like, so true.
Yeah.
My perspective of retro gaming has, like, completely changed. I'm, like, going through I don't even know what to call it, just some sort of epiphany of how I feel, or just drastic change of how I feel about retro gaming in general.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because my collection's been getting a lot bigger lately. almost in tangent with yours downsizing. It's strange.
So strange.
So you're just moving, huh? Still moving.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much settled. I'm not moving. I'm just getting rid of stuff now.
The moving arc is almost over.
The moving arc is done. It's done. I just am trying to sell stuff and get rid of it, and debating on which consoles I'm even going to keep, because my brother, who I live with now, he's also got a bunch of retro consoles. He's got a whole game room, and it's just like, all right, well, then why do I need a bunch of retro consoles if he has all these?
Right.
So that's where I'm at.
I need probably like a NES and a Super Nintendo and a Genesis and a Saturn and a Dreamcast in every single room in my house.
Well, those are all the ones that I have. I have like four Genesises right now.
Right. Well, I need one for every room.
Okay.
So, you never know when you're going to need some of that Comic Zone action.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking like even like bathroom is
right,
well.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. So,
you've been like mounting TVs like crazy. You're going to start mounting TVs in your bathrooms?
I could. I've debated it.
Really?
Sure. I mean, that's the ultimate lap of luxury, is when you got a little TV to watch your sports while you're peeing.
Come on, man. Bathroom is the moment where you just kind of walk away from all that shit for a second.
Yeah, no, you're right. I like to read in the bathroom. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Laying a patio.
Oh, so yeah. How's back. That going?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, man. My brother was joking with me, because he says every single summer when it's like, once it hits like 100 degrees, that's when I decide to start doing yard work or like work out
right.
in the backyard. I waited the whole winter and fall and waited till it hit summer to be like, all right, I'm gonna build a patio now.
And we're in that Florida constant raining weather now.
Right, so I've been trying to do it, but it's been raining every day, so I haven't been able to do any more of it, and it's a lot of work. You know, I'm mixing the cement by hand, which is really can't state enough how much like strain that puts on like the shoulder and back and stuff, like with a shovel, like grinding up cement.
Doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, so been doing that single-handedly.
I went to the
Drew Estate barn smokers event, which is in a Claremont. probably not a lot of overlap in interest with our listeners, but yeah, so it's basically you go out to the barn or the farm where they grow the tobacco for the cigars and stuff. It was like $90. They give you, you get there at 9 in the morning, and you immediately, like, we immediately start drinking and smoking cigars at 9 in the morning.
Kind of booze.
They had a lot of different stands set up with from distilleries and breweries and stuff. Like, they had, I sampled some really nice, expensive Knob Creek stuff and, like, Maker's Mark and things like that. They have a bottle of Private Reserve Knob Creek, I think, that's, like, you can only get it at Corona's cigar bar, and it's, like, $80 a bottle, and I tried some of that. It was good. They give you drink tickets for, like, mixed drinks and liquor and stuff. You can bring your own liquor, which we did. They give you, like, $200 worth of cigars, and then they take you on the tour. And they show you how the tobacco's grown and picked and, you know, dried and then rolled into the cigars. So it was really cool. If you have any interest in that, or you just like getting shit-faced and smoking cigars, you know, try and get a ticket for next year. Because it was definitely, you definitely get your money's worth. Like I said, the ticket's $90 and they give you $200 worth of cigars.
I mean, I don't even smoke cigars that often, and that sounded like a really cool event.
Yeah. So it was fun, and free food, barbecue from like a little like craft barbecue place over near like Mills.
Okay,
something like the Pig or something like that.
Oh, you mean Ravenous Pig?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, okay.
So the food was really good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So that's what I've been doing.
Cool.
All right, so you got it. What do you got for us first this week?
I guess I'll lay down the big one for me and. Kind of surprising, but not surprising, that Sony of America actually reached out to Kotaku and then reached out to other studios as well, that they are officially ending production of physical Vita games for America and Europe division.
Oh, shit.
So, basically...
Bowman hasn't slept in a week.
The details on this is that it'll be all done by March 31st, 2019.
Okay.
But my theory, maybe it's an April Fool's joke. But anyways,
I don't think so, pal.
No, that's the end of the fiscal year 2018, so that makes sense. So basically, companies have until June to like start putting their initial orders in for wanting to do physical games, and they need to have their final purchases of the carts done by February 15th. But Not all is lost. America and Europe are the ones that are being stopped. Asia, they even like went as far as to say that production will continue in Asia and rather specifically Japan. So that won't stop. So,
but theoretically, if like Limited Run or whoever wanted to get a game made, couldn't they just have it made in the Japanese facility?
I don't know how the process of that works. Limited Run still hasn't commented on it.
Because the system's region free, so you just put whatever ROM you
absolutely.
Want on
like,
there.
Well, I was going to mention like that Rebel Air game that I got. It was from Play Asia, and
right.
I'm sure that production was in Japan.
Right.
And it had multiple languages on it. So, I mean, releases like that are still going to get sold. So you're still going to see physical Vita games available for sale for certain titles. It's going to be drastically a lot less, and you're not going to... Well, because right now, you can walk into GameStop now, and sometimes you have to like ask for them to pull out their Vita games, but new Vita games were still being shipped to GameStops. I think that is going to be ending after that point, and you're only going to be able to buy pre-owned games. There's also Limited Run Games did not make an official comment about that news in particular. They said they don't like commenting on leaked information or whatever.
It's not leaked, though.
I don't understand. It's been confirmed, so I don't know if... I guess they're being really careful about when to comment on it, but...
Get your emo ass in gear, Limited Run!
They did say that they currently have over 30 physical Vita games in the works, and every single one of them will release. So... I was, like, definitely a little upset to read that news because I'm a big Vita fan, but also... It's gone well beyond expectations than it ever was supposed to do, like as far as like how many games still get produced for it, because I mean the system was considered dead at arrival and it still had a slew of games coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just bought one the other day, and I'm sure I'll keep buying games. And I mean, if anything, I'll be fine with not buying more Vita games, because I do have a lot of them, and I am ready to just start making the Switch to Nintendo Switch.
Gotta get that Vita flash cart.
Yeah, eventually I will mod my Vita, but I guess one of the irritating parts about this news is that people are just like, well, the Vita will live on through digital, and it's just like, it's fucking annoying because the memory cards are overpriced as hell.
They're not going to keep the store open on it for much longer after the production is over.
You think so? I don't know about that.
They do that with everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I think overall it's not the worst news in the world. It's not unexpected, and I think we'll keep getting games, but I just wish that Sony also announced a price drop on the memory cards at least as well.
That'd be nice.
That would be really nice. Like, hey, we're not doing cards anymore, but now you can afford
this
memory cards.
This technology hasn't gotten any cheaper in the last 5 years.
God. So, that's frustrating. So, I don't know. That's where I'm at with the Vita.
Yeah. My opinion on the Vita situation is not surprising in the slightest bit. They've been moving towards this for a while now. It's disappointing, but nobody killed the Vita but Sony.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at a point, you have to... It's just, you're living in a dream world if you thought that they were going to keep pumping games out for this thing that they clearly want nothing to do with. That's it. I mean, there's not much else to say about it. Honestly, it sucks. Like, I like the Vita, and honestly, I wish there was more unique games on it. I'm not the type of person who is going to buy a game if it's out for other consoles on the Vita, but I'll buy Vita games that are not on other consoles, which there aren't really any of nowadays. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. So, all right, well, this is interesting. I don't know if you heard about this. The, Pokemon leak? You see this?
No.
Okay, so some more information leaked out, apparently from a pretty reliable source. You know, it's all speculation, but I guess the names have been trademarked and stuff by Nintendo and whatnot. I guess the new Pokemon game is supposedly going to be a remake of Yellow.
Huh.
And it's allegedly called Pokemon Hey Pikachu and Pokemon Hey Eevee.
Oh, I did see the
right. So I guess it's supposed to be like a remake of Pokemon Yellow for the Switch. Although something of interest is that apparently the like battle system, the way that you catch Pokemon and stuff, is the same way, the same system that they use in, like, Pokemon Go. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So,
I already don't really care about Pokemon, but that would be, like, a confirmed never gonna buy.
Oh, shit, hold on. Glad I noticed this now. Your microphone isn't working.
Oh.
Just during this segment. Say something?
Hello.
Okay, that works. Having some technical difficulties here. Alright. Yeah, so I'm interested because the thing that's got me the reason why I haven't been keeping up with Pokemon is because there's too many Pokemon too quick. So if there's something like 100, I mean, even I think the sweet spot would be like 300 Pokemon. I could deal with that, but we're at like 1,000 now, and it's just too much to keep up with. The Pokemon are stupid looking. They're just like shapes half the time. So I haven't had an interest in, you have to really work to keep up with all that. And even the original 150, I remember me and my friends would like quiz each other on, you know, like, oh, like, do you know number 80?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's just, it became too overwhelming, and I lost interest because there was just too many Pokemon. So if it's a remake of Yellow, that was probably like my second favorite Pokemon game behind Gold, Silver. I mean,
I liked Yellow. I liked Yellow a lot. Yeah,
I loved Yellow.
Yeah,
out of the original generation, that was my preferred. Yeah, because it had color, and I liked that Pikachu followed you around like in the show,
mm-hmm.
whatnot. So, yeah. So yeah, I'm very interested in a Yellow remake. What about you? Would you play that?
Maybe.
You just said you love Yellow.
I do love Yellow. I loved Yellow as a kid.
Oh, but I guess there's the Pokemon Go shit.
Pokemon Go shit in there, and my argument with Pokemon always remains the same. I recognize why it's popular. It's just I have so many different RPGs to play. The last thing I want to play is a very bland, dull RPG.
Yeah.
Like, that's just where I'm at with it, and I know that's blasphemy, but...
I mean, they're not super cheap. They're not super original, and they're made for, like, kids.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I'm not the target audience. I think the target audience is the kids, or people who are just, like, Pokemon, and, like, they're just giant fucking fans, and they mm-hmm. gotta play the next one. But no interest for me. Just, if they had a Pokemon that had, like, a high emphasis on story randomly, and they, like... really try to make it a good, cool RPG, I'd be into it, but they haven't. Which yeah. But the thing is, if they did that, they'd be losing a big part of their audience, too. That's not what the game is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a very Nintendo RPG.
Yeah.
Like a low-level Nintendo RPG. It's like, you know, if you're a RPG fan, play Earthbound, and if you're a little babby, then you play Pokemon Red and Blue, like yeah. back in the 90s. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else you got for us?
Had it right here. Well, actually, big news. Best Buy actually...
Okay.
Sorry if you already had that, but Best Buy actually went ahead and abruptly ended their discount program.
Yeah.
So, what this program was, I mean, if you paid a fee, I believe it was $30 for 2 years yeah. and you got 20% off games. And they would even give you $10 bonus credits for pre-ordering certain games. It was a pretty awesome program. Like, because the thing is, it started in response to Amazon's video game program, which Amazon used to be you pre-order a game 2 weeks in advance, or rather, if you pre-ordered a game in advance or
bought it up to
2 weeks upon release, you got 20% off the game. That has since changed, and it became... you can no longer do collector's editions, and you had to pre-order it. So even when the game comes out, so
I think it works for collector's editions.
Not anymore. Like a lot of collector's editions don't work anymore.
Oh, okay.
No, like not big collector's editions is like specifically in the program where they do not include that now.
Oh,
like
all right.
Like the Cinnamon and Gore Peach Blast, that was considered a collector's edition, so you couldn't actually get the discount on that on Amazon.
Oh,
that's why I got mine on Amazon, Best Buy.
It works for Shantae.
That's not technically a collection edition. That was like a day one edition type thing. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
It came with the exact same shit that the Senran Kangora.
The point is, there. Amazon put a bunch of weird restrictions on their program, and Best Buy had theirs, which was awesome because 20% off anything, all the time. Every type of game, doesn't matter. Even Amiibos, I could use my Best Buy program discount right now to get 20% off certain Amiibos.
Right. I've heard some conflicting reports, so I've heard that they still have it, but you can only sign up for it in the store.
Really?
I read that.
Well, because Best Buy put a statement out that they're telling the programs to stop doing it. So, I mean, maybe people are getting lucky and are still able to sign up in store at times, but...
Right. Maybe I should go see if I can sign up for the 2 years before it goes away.
We're checking out, so... I do... But, yeah, so basically how it works, if you currently have a membership, obviously they're going to honor it until it runs out. But, I don't know, it's unfortunate, and I don't understand what Best Buy plans on doing now, because... I hadn't shopped at Best Buy in years.
Yeah.
Because of this program. I guess they have some pretty good discounts sometimes, but...
Does it work for the NES Classic Edition?
I don't know.
Does it work for hardware?
I don't. You know what? No, it does not.
Okay.
I don't think it works for hardware. So technically, the classic editions don't apply to that. Yeah. So, but other than that, cool deal. Like you'll see like a game get slashed down in price. Like Gravity Rush 2 was slashed down to $20 recently, and if you could find it at Best Buy, you would get that game for like $16.
Yeah.
Like, so that was pretty cool. So I think it's unfortunate. And with how Amazon's going with their program right now, I mean, I don't know if you know, like, so they're dropping out of a Sony. A lot of physical games are losing that discount,
right?
Because I guess apparently Sony's been raising the price on their physical games, so Amazon's like trying to basically respond to that by removing that discount program for it. So it's a weird time, and I think it's just a weird experimental time with game pricing and discount programs. And but the problem is the damage has already been kind of done, because at this point I don't ever want to pay full price for a game. Yeah. I always want that discount now.
Yeah, if I don't pre-order something on Amazon and get that discount, I'm waiting until it's $20 or $30.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the only thing I can think of is that Best Buy just couldn't afford to keep doing it. But I don't know if they can afford to exist anymore then, because, like you said, that was the first time you went to Best Buy in years. And it's true. Like, I went to Best Buy a few months ago for a client of mine to pick up some... It was like an emergency. I had to pick up some, like, Ethernet cables or something. And it was, like, $30 or $45 for a fucking USB or Ethernet cable. It was, like, $5 on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck you, I'm not coming here anymore. You have nothing to offer me. And, yeah, they charge 3-4 times as much for basic things like that. And that's how they keep making a profit, is you get your grandma to go in there and buy a USB cable, and she doesn't know that it doesn't cost $30 on Amazon, and she pays the $30. That's how they get away with it. But people are wising up, and I just don't see them. I mean, it's been years now. I don't know if you know this, but like the only day of the year that they make a profit is Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The only day of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not sustainable. And when you take away stuff like that, it's like, well, I already had very little reason to go there. Now I have none. And you're trying to compete with Amazon and you failed. So, yeah, it's a shame because the program sounds cool, but, you know, it is what it is, and there's a reason why they don't have a good track record. So they're just not, you know, they're not economically viable in today's market.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, well, moving on. My next topic is somewhat related to that Nintendo leak earlier. This one's been pretty widely reported on. Allegedly, there's a Star Fox racing game, futuristic racing game, in the pipeline. There's been some like leaks, reports, and also they trademarked the name and whatnot. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that? Star Fox Racing game, is that something you're interested in?
Not something it's just typical Nintendo fashion. It's something nobody asked for.
Yeah.
And Nintendo's giving it to us anyway. I just find, at this point, like, I mean, I don't want to comment too, my initial reactions, they could change my mind, but my initial reactions are, oh, cool, great. They still don't want to give people what they want when it comes to Star Fox. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to do it. They refuse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really weird decision, because it's like you said, they just refuse to. It's not even about giving people what they want. Even from a business perspective, it's like giving people what they will buy, things that will sell.
Yeah.
It's not about like, well, I want this, so they should make it. It's not even about that. It's about, you know, they'll make statements like, for instance, I think back to what is that? A Chibi Robo.
Yeah.
Okay, when they were like, Chibi Robo doesn't do well, and we're going to release one last game, And if it doesn't do well, then that's the fate of the franchise. And then they release the game, and it's utter garbage. Mm-hmm. It's not anything like a Chibi Robo game. It's like a really shitty 2D platformer. It sucked. The graphics were bad. It was clear that they did not put any thought or care into it. And they're like, if you don't buy it, then that's it.
Yep.
No more series. And it's a similar thing to, like, so obviously my first instinct when I hear this is, why are you doing this instead of making a new F-Zero game? Because this is almost like F-Zero. It's a futuristic racing game with, like, hover vehicles. Okay, that's F-Zero. People have been asking for years for a legitimate Star Fox game. You fucking blew the one on the Wii U.
Yeah.
That one was garbage, and it was stupid, and they did all this stuff that nobody wanted and made it just a mess. And people have been asking for an F-Zero game for over a decade now. And so you take, so you say, well, we're not going to make the F-Zero game that people have been asking for years. And also, we're not going to make the Star Fox game that people have been asking for years. And we're going to just kind of take Star Fox and make it sort of an F-Zero game. It's like, great.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I mean, could be good. Who knows? Initial reaction? Silly. Just...
yeah, and it's so the reason why I brought up the Chibi Robo is because Star Fox is kind of like that, where they're just like, oh, well, Star Fox doesn't do well. And it's because you're not fucking making a Star Fox game
you
that
didn't
people
make
want.
What we want the way we wanted. You made a game where the controls were absolutely horrendous and you
gimmicky.
Yeah, like you try to innovate, but you didn't innovate. You just made it a mess. And
then they say, oh, well, it doesn't do well.
Yeah, people don't like it. And it's just like, no, people clearly still want these games. You just don't want to do it.
I wonder how it sold on the Wii U.
I'm sure
like
not
relative
well.
To other games on the Wii U.
It had to have sold really poorly because the price, there were like discounts and
trying to like, give it away, basically.
Yeah, and the thing is, that doesn't happen for most Nintendo first-party mm-hmm. games. Like, most, like, Wii U games. I'm talking, like, during, months later after Star Fox came out, you could already start to see price drops on it. And that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo's, like, really stubborn about the value on their games. They don't put, it's a
after
long
like five
time.
Years, they'll put them on that Nintendo Selects line.
Yeah, the Nintendo Selects line. But that is a long time coming. It's not like God of War where we're going to see that game a year from now for $20 in the bargain bin. Nintendo refuses. Which, you know, that's whatever. You put high value on your games. But that one, they were just like, shit, we need to move this game somehow because it's not flying off shelves at all. And we need to squeeze every penny off of that Wii U as we can. When that came out, that was just such a clear sign that they had just completely given up on the Wii. We're not even like putting effort into the Wii U anymore.
Right. Yeah. I'm interested to see if this comes to fruition at E3 or whatever, because if it does, we were talking about this earlier, how Nintendo, whenever they get like a few good years going, they become like the most arrogant company in existence.
Yep.
And that is, If this actually is a real thing and they announce it, that to me is like their arrogance on full display, where it's just like, oh, you want a new F-Zero game or you want a new Star Fox game? Well, I'll tell you what, this is what you really want. And it's just like, no, we don't, and we're not going to buy it.
No, remember how you guys talked about how you guys redid Mario and how you were finally giving fans what they want? Just keep doing that. What's going on? Just do that. Have your little experiments on the side. That's fine.
Sure.
But come on.
Release a $20 Star Fox eShop racing game with five maps
or
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Don't make it a big deal.
Yeah.
But
just don't, don't ignore F-Zero and Star Fox and whatnot. And, it's just, it's a big fuck you if it's real. So,
well, like it's kind of like when they released. So everyone kept wondering if we're gonna get an Animal Crossing for Wii U.
Oh God!
And we get Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, and the thing is, whatever, fine. You want to do like a cool new like take on the series and try something else new, okay, then actually do it. And yeah. With that one, they didn't even do anything.
Well, that's one of the biggest pieces of shit in Nintendo's history. Yeah. I don't think they've ever... I honestly don't think they've ever released a first-party game that's worse than that one.
Yeah, where this game is literally like $5 brand new now.
They clearly did not pay... They didn't care about it at all. They yeah. put no effort into it. It's less involved than Monopoly.
Well, it was just a place to sell the Amiibos,
yeah.
Which is gross.
They got fucked on that too, because everywhere you go, you just see mountains of Animal Crossing Amiibos that are like $3, and I have
a bunch of Animal Crossing Amiibos that I don't even know if I want to keep them or not.
Yeah,
because they were like $1, $3 each.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, what else you got for us?
Well, next up, I got this is kind of interesting. I don't know how you'll feel about it. The multiplayer No Man's Sky update's coming out soon. Did you see that?
I did. I didn't read anything about it.
Well, like, it's supposed to, I was reading the description, and it's supposed to completely deliver on what most of us envisioned for the game. Like, you'll be able to run into random people, and you'll be able to, like, team up with other people and, like, build colonies together, mine together, survive together, and, yeah, go across the planets and find random people. I don't know. I think obviously the game has, like,
ship has sailed.
It's a sail, and the reputation's lost, but, I mean, you gotta give them some kudos for they're still putting efforts into making that update.
Well, I think because they're desperate to sell copies that they didn't sell.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They've already invested so much time and money into this thing, and it probably did so poorly that they're like, we need to sell more copies of this game.
I'm tempted to try it out now just because of that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I need more details. Like, how many people are on a server? Like, you're already in a vast. Is it all one server, and it's just everybody who's playing that game is in the universe? Because it's so vast that, like, unless it's one big server and all 3 million people that are playing or whatever are all on the same galaxy or universe or whatever, and it's like, okay, that's kind of cool, but. If it's just they have different servers set up and there's only like 100 people in each one and you have a billion planets in each server, it seems silly. If it's a never-ending server, like if it's like EVE Online or something, that could be cool. Where it's just one server, everyone's in there, multiple millions of people are in there, and it never changes, and whatever changes you make onto any planet, you can leave and then come back and it's the same as it was before. That would be neat, but my initial opinion on it is too little too late for No Man's Sky. So, sorry boys. You got anything else on that?
Nothing else on that, no.
Okay. Alright, well, I saw this, thought it could be an interesting topic, because we've kind of talked about this before. I don't know if you saw this or not. Valve apparently put out a warning.
Yeah.
To all the like X-rated game developers on Steam. So if you're not familiar and you're listening, on Steam there's actually like a lot of hentai games on there.
Well, there are and there aren't. Like, I think X-rated is a strong word. They're on there, but
softcore.
They're very softcore.
Okay, so maybe not X-rated, but NC-17 rated at
right.
least. Like nudity and stuff.
Boobs.
Yeah.
Anime tits.
So the weird thing about this is these games have been up there for years and years and years. They've always sold pretty well. So it's just strange because it's clear that these games didn't just come to Valve's attention this month. They've had to have known about them for years. I mean,
well, one of them they targeted was Honey Pop, and that's like a really popular game.
It's a really popular franchise. It's like many, many games and a big. It's a developer that make dozens of these games, and some of them are visual novel, dating sims type things, and some of them are like their most popular game is like a puzzle game or something. Like
that. And there's also the Honeycam one where it's basically a sim. Cam girl website game.
Okay. So what, do you gotta like tip the right amount?
Well, no, you run the site. You run all the girls and stuff. I kinda thought
that
was fun.
Sounds kinda interesting.
It's not super interesting gameplay. Like, but I mean, I feel like it's worth like one sit through, and the porn in it is extremely minimal.
Really?
You don't. There's nothing. And
you're losing me quick on the intro.
I thought the idea was cool, but no. But did you also see that they actually really like sent out follow-ups to these companies and were like, "Oh, we made a mistake." So I think.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they actually.
All right, so we got breaking news.
Breaking
here
news.
On
they've been sending a lot of them, especially Honey Pop. Actually, got a message from them directly.
Yeah, because they're probably like, "These guys bring in too much money. Let's not threaten to take all their stuff down."
It's scary for these developers though, because like they basically like shut off their money supply. Like, yeah. they and a lot of these games like have already been like censored to be on Steam.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like a lot of developers they contact the visual novels, they're already like censoring their games big time to even have it on the platform.
All
right.
Because
Steam is so huge. And then they actually, here we go, Honey Pop developer. Important notice, I've received an email from Valve stating that Honey Pop violates the... Hold on. There's an update here. There was an update.
I'd like to pop that, honey.
Well, anyways, there is an update that apparently they did actually apologize and said that part of it was a mistake. So now, who the hell knows what's going on with Steam in this? I mean, I guess when we're talking about this, how do you feel about adult content on Steam, and what does Valve have to gain or lose from having adult risque content on their platform?
So obviously what they have to gain is all the people who want to buy those games and having them on the platform spending money. What they have to lose is, you know, some dumbass kid pulls up the game or whatever and the parent sees like, what the hell are you looking at on Steam? And then they say you can't use Steam anymore.
Yeah.
Period. The whole platform. And then you're missing out on that money. So it's like, but I have a feeling the types of people that are buying these hentai games are probably spending more money than some random 8-year-old brat on Steam. So it's really like a give and take.
But at that point, they have to decide what kind of business they want to run.
Sure.
There are specific platforms just for adult games.
Yeah. I mean, but these games have been on there for years. I think that basically maybe, like, make the restrictions tougher. You know, maybe you have to send in a copy of your driver's license and you get a age-verified account or something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
I personally, we've talked about this before, I don't see much difference between having a game like that and having a game like Friday the 13th on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think that if you're going to have a game where people get their, you know, spines ripped out and shit, what is it that big of a difference of having a game where, like, an anime girl has her boobs out?
Yeah.
Like really, where do you want to draw the line and where do you want to, you know... Is this really the hill that you want to die on? So that's the real question, I think. And you know, I'm a big believer in not censoring really anything, but even more so a big believer in the types of people who say, well, why is a movie where you can murder 100 people PG-13, but boob is out for 1 second and it's instantly rated R? I think that's more of a topic of our culture in general, but I think that's where I lie, where it's just like, why is it okay for a kid to see mindless violence and people getting killed, their fucking lives ended, and you know, but they can't see any kind of nudity or sexual content? That's really where the conversation should start and end, I think. So
it's weird. Yeah, I think maybe they should take this moment to maybe open the conversation further up. Maybe if they want to, maybe if Steam wants to have a separate, completely different program platform that you have to, like, you know, it's like a fully unlocked Steam, and that's
right,
where you can get all the stuff, and maybe they can have like a more rigorous process of approving these games to make sure they're not too far, like making sure you're not getting like Because I think the thing is, I don't think they want to become a platform where they're literally just getting straight up like raunchy porn, like hentai games. Where the sole purpose, like, because these Honeypop games, they have a purpose. Like, it's a puzzle game, and then it has like fan service and stuff in the background. Right. You have a visual novel game where you might get a scene where the girl is naked or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where Valve's coming from, where they just don't want to have a platform where they have like blatant like hentai and stuff on there, where it's just like blatant like hour long like hentai scenes and stuff in there. Because there is a place for that, and I don't think they want to be that place.
Okay.
So I think that's where they need to go, is maybe just have a brand. Maybe just.
But those games already aren't on the service.
Which games?
The like blatantly X-rated hentai.
Well, games. I know they're not. I know they're not. I'm just saying that they need to make up their minds as to what, as to how much censorship really needs to occur.
Yeah,
on the platform and everything. I'm saying they need to be more fair to these companies that are not releasing blatant sex games.
Yeah,
and they're just having games that have sexual content in them. And I don't think it needs to be shamed as hard as it is.
Yeah, I always go back to. I mean, I think like Friday the 13th was the perfect contrast to use or example, because you have a game. Once again, this is more of a culture thing, and I think that the conversation needs to be opened up almost at like a governmental level, where we need to really take a look at this stuff and be like, not censor it at all. Not, you know, I'm not saying Friday the 13th needs to be taken off, but it's like you said, there's hentai games where there's just blatant, you know, sex, but on the other side of the coin, it's like, there's no purpose for Friday the 13th, like, death scenes and stuff. Like, it's just clear fan service of, like, gore for gore's sake and murder for murder's sake. And the same could be said for, like, shows like The Walking Dead that's on cable TV, where it's just like, there's a very thin story there at this point. It's garbage. There's a very thin story, and it's just, a lot of it is, like, blatant murder and gore, zombie gore and stuff like that. And it's at a point, it's like, why is it okay for there to be games like that, but there's not, but it's not okay on the sexual aspect of it? That to me is the conversation that needs to be had. And it's a shame that these situations keep coming up, and that it's never. Maybe it's just there's too much bureaucracy. People are too stupid. I don't know. But it never gets to that point. It never gets to that higher level of conversation where, like, they had you had the Night Trap stuff. You had in the 90s. And then you have recently the violence stuff. And it's just like, at a point, when are you going to start having the conversation of maybe sexually suggestive content isn't as bad as we've made it out to be, and maybe we should restructure the way our culture looks at it. Yeah. And, you know, maybe a movie with a woman topless shouldn't instantly be rated R because you have Taken, where Liam Neeson murders 50 guys, and that's PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not even a matter of the art and the rating so much as the culture and what we deem as acceptable and unacceptable. And I think that in a world where you can have a Friday the 13th game where people are getting their hearts ripped out in like a cutscene over and over again versus a puzzle game where a girl takes her top off and that's deemed like too much, that to me illustrates a bigger issue than the actual censorship itself. It's like a, you know, what do we value as a society? Someone's life or the innocence, the sexual innocence of a child who's gonna see the stuff eventually anyway.
Well, especially, it's such a weird conversation we're still having because we're in 2018 where every kid has like a phone and like you and I were like on the computer and stuff looking up porn on dial-up connection.
Right.
And like imagine now just like kids, the access that they have now to all that.
Yeah, if you want to see it, you'll find it today. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just a strange thing to take issue with after those games have been on there for years. So I thought it was odd, and you know, we always have these conversations, and we've always been big advocates of like minimal censorship.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm all for minimal censorship, but I'm also all for proper measurements to make sure that, you know, a kid can't easily access.
Sure.
It.
Like all. I said, maybe the solution is to send a scan of your driver's license or something, and you have an age verified account.
I mean, there were sites like that when I was using dial up back then. I remember I would get to a porn site and they'd be like, "You need to verify your age." I'm like, "Guess I'm going to a different porn site."
Right.
Like,
they just need to decide what they want to be, because Steam started with the whole point of Steam is to be your one stop shop,
mm-hmm.
and that's why on one page you can get some cutesy platformer for 3 year olds. Or I think like Spy Fox and like, you know, Putt-Putt and stuff are on there too. And then on the next page, you can get Friday the 13th or Doom. And then on the next page, you can get these Honey Pop games. It's supposed to be an all, like, it's supposed to, the point of it was to streamline PC gaming and make it so you should never have to go anywhere else for your mm-hmm. games. And I think that getting rid of it is not the answer. I think you need to find some way around that. And, you know, if you have a whole 18 and up or, you know, yeah, a whole 18 and up section on the app or the program where you have higher restrictions or whatever on how to get in there, then that's probably the proper way to do it. I have a message board that, you know, we use occasionally, and there's like a women only, boards on there that you can only access if you're a female user, and the way they do that is by, you know, you have to verify in some way that you're a female user. So it's not rocket science, and this is a multi-billion dollar corporation. They can figure out how to make it work.
Yeah,
you know, I'm pretty sure that back in the day, like, Walmart sold like porn mags behind the counter. So yep. All right. What else you got for us? Anything?
That's it for me.
Okay. Okay. I guess it'll just be a short episode then. You got to get off to work anyway. All right. So I just wanted to say real quick, we're going to start doing like a Q&A if you're listening. If you got any questions or topics you want us to talk about, send us a tweet. That would be the best way to do it. We're on Facebook, our Facebook page. So their Twitter is @the_GameBoys with a Z. And yeah, if you have any questions, you have any topics you want us to talk about, please send them out, and we'll answer them on the podcast. You can subscribe to us on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. I always post the links on the Twitter. So if you're not following us, make sure you follow us on there. And please subscribe to the podcast so you'll be up to date on all our really important news that I know you guys clamor for every week. So on that note, Bowman, you have anything to say to the people here?
Adios, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye then.